Praise the Lord. It is a glorious, glorious time in Jesus. Always a blessing to serve you this morning in particular. Thank you, Reverend Pastor, for the opportunity of blessing and serving God's people by opening His Word. If you don't mind, would you turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 22. I've been living in Genesis for a little while and hanging out with Abraham for the last few months. And it's been a lot of fun. He's a good guy. Genesis 22, beginning to read at chapter 22 and verse 11. And I want to talk to you this morning on the topic, God loves laughter. God loves laughter. Amen. Genesis 22:11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. Now, I want to remind you of the background of this particular story. Abraham has been asked to lay down his son, Isaac, to give his son to the Lord, to lay him upon the altar of sacrifice. Now, Abraham's son is named Laughter. Literally, he will laugh. And this son was to bring joy to the heart of Abraham and Sarah, but not only that, but was to be a blessing to the nations. The Lord had promised Abraham many years prior to that, that this young man would be a blessing to all peoples, all kindreds, all nations, all ethnicities. He would cause God's name to be glorified throughout the course of the earth. When Sarah realized that she had become pregnant at the age of 99 and was happy to finally receive the promise of God, the Bible says that she said, The Lord has caused me to laugh, and everyone who hears about it will laugh as well. And that's an awesome thing, because if you remember, when God first began to promise to Abraham and to Sarah that he was going to give them a child in their old age, they both fell on their face and laughed. The Bible says Abraham first fell on his face and laughed, and then years later, when Sarah heard it again, she behind the tent began to laugh. And the Lord said, Why did Sarah laugh? I am going to, at this time next year, bring you a child. And in essence, the Lord will have the last laugh. And God still has the last laugh. And God still loves to laugh. He still loves to bring joy and laughter into our lives. But sometimes it seems as though He is asking for us to place that laughter on the altar of sacrifice. And the strange thing about the Lord, as you'll search the scriptures and see, is there are times when He will tell people what He's going to do in their lives. Sometimes He's telling them He's going to do a great thing in their life, and they hear it and they believe it and they run with it. And then for some reason or another, it seems as though the Lord has got to pull back on it, and they will tend to feel as though God has completely decided against it. For instance, in the days of Moses, if you remember, the Bible makes it very clear, especially as Stephen is telling the story in the book of Acts, that Moses knew early on in his life that God was going to use him to bring freedom and liberty among God's people. And so at one point in his life, when he was in his prime and in his strength, he decided that he was going to go about doing it, but he was going to do it in his own strength. And of course, there was great failure. And so not only did Moses pull back from doing God's will in his own strength, but he pulled back entirely. He decided that he wasn't going to do it at all. And so for 40 years, he basically wandered in the wilderness. And it wasn't until after that 40 years that the Lord came to him again and said, I have not given up on the promise that I made on your life. And I never asked you to give up on the promise. I simply asked you to not do it in your own strength. Remember, David at a certain point decided that he was going to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and he was going to celebrate the fact that God had made a covenant with his people. And God made it clear to David that David was going to be a means by which the Lord made it clear that he is a covenant God, that when he makes a promise, he keeps a promise, and that his people were the people of promise. But David tried to bring up the ark again in his own strength. You remember the scripture? He took the Ark of the Covenant and he put it on a cart and he had oxen pull the cart. Of course, that was not the way the Lord had prescribed that the Ark of the Covenant should be moved. And so at a certain point, the Lord had to bring a reprimand into that situation. And David went from laughing and singing and rejoicing to finally deciding that he can't even so much as behold the Lord's covenant. And so he just kind of pushed it aside and said in his heart that God, in essence, has given up on making his covenant reality true among the people. And he again decided that God can't use him. He let it go, and God began to bless the man in whose house the Ark of the Covenant stood. And David realized again, God was not saying to David, give up on the promise. He was saying, stop trying to do it in your own strength. Now we see the situation with Abraham. For years and years of his life, God is asking him, as we talked about before, to give up one thing and another thing and another thing and another thing. And there is this process by which Abraham first leaves Ur of the Chaldees, then his father dies in Hebron, and then he has to separate later from Lot, and then he has to break up away from Ishmael, and then finally the Lord is asking him to give up his son Isaac. Now, the first people and the first circumstances and situations that Abraham was asked to let go of and to leave, that was in line with the promise. Leave your father's house because there's a promise here. Or leave Lot or separate from Ishmael because there's a promise here. But now all of a sudden it's the promise itself that's being asked, lay it down. Now I can imagine that there is a possibility that over the process of time, Abraham finally got to a place. Now, I'm not certain, but I know if I was in his place, at a certain point, you get to a place where you say, how much more can I give up? How much more does the Lord want? What more can I do? And there can come a time when you decide that maybe, just maybe, God can't use me. Maybe there's so many things that still has to happen in my life, and so many things that's got to come out of my life, and so many things that have to be changed in my life, that maybe God can't use me. And so while we hear God saying to us, lay it down, lay it down, lay it down, there's something in the back of our mind that begins to say, give it up, give it up, give it up. But what we see happening in the case of Abraham is God is saying to Abraham, yes, Abraham, I did ask you to lay this down. And I do ask you to lay that down. And I will ask you to lay something else down. But I have never once told you to give up on the promise that I have over your life. I have never asked you to think for one moment that God can't use you just because God is in the process of changing you and in the process of growing you. And just because God reserves the right to bring correction and reprimand into your life. It's true that God is never going to stop saying to you and to me on one level or another level, you have to let this go, or you have to give up control of that, or you have to allow God to speak into your life on this issue. issue or that issue, that's never going to stop on this side of eternity. But that never implies the fact that we cannot be used of God at any given time and on any given day. So now Abraham is being asked to lay his son down. And Abraham could decide at this stage, if he wanted to, that the promise is over. Everything that I have been hoping for is gone. Everything that I have been believing for must have been wrong. But God begins to say to Abraham, Abraham, I know how much you love Isaac. Remember what he said to him at the very beginning. Bring me your son, your only son, the one that you love. Bring him up to me. Literally what it says in the text is raise him up as a whole burnt offering. Bring him up as though he belongs to me. Everything that God promises you and God promises me, he's saying, I want you to see it as though it's mine. I want you to see every promise as though it's mine. I want you to see every sense of purpose and every idea of God's plan as though it ultimately belongs to me. And he says, and I want you to love it. I want you to hope for it. I want you to believe for it. But I want you to know something. It's basically what he's saying to Abraham. As much as you love Isaac, I love him more. As much as you hope for Isaac, I have decided and I have purposed and I have planned above anything that you could ever ask or think. As much as you want to cling to your son Isaac, I can treat him better. I can raise him better. I can nurture him better. I know what it takes to bring resurrection life into what you are holding on to and what you are believing for. And so he says, bring me your son. Raise him up to me. Teach him that he belongs to me. Talk to him as though he is mine. Remember, Abraham was very old by the time he brought Isaac up to the mountain. Isaac was young. Isaac was vibrant. Isaac was able to lift up a bundle of wood all the way up a hill. This was a strong young man. He did not have to lay down because an old man told him to. If he didn't want to lay down, believe me, Abraham could not have wrestled him to the ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? But Abraham raised him to believe that he belonged to God. Abraham spoke into his life from the time that he was a young man so that he understood that as much as he was going to be a blessing, as much as he was going to make a difference, as much as he was going to impact the world, as much as he was going to cause God's covenant truths to be made manifest, as long as he was going to cause people to rejoice in God's promise, everything about him he knew belonged to God. So basically what God is saying to us today is whatever promise is on our lives, we must nurture that promise in the direction of God. So as to say to all of the hope that's in our heart, hope, you belong to God. Every aspiration that's in our life, aspiration, you belong to God. Any ambition that is godly that's in our life, it belongs to God. And anything that doesn't belong to God is selfish and has no value. Everything ultimately belongs to God. So we speak to our own hearts and we say, I am raising you up to God. So Abraham said to his son, I'm raising you up to God. So now his son is willing to lay down. The same way your and my ambitions are willing to lay down. The same way your and my hope lay down. We speak to our sense of purpose and say, lay down. We speak to our sense of what we understand to be God's plan and we say, lay down. You know, the Bible tells us that we have been given a crown. And at the same time, the Bible says that we will lay our crowns at Christ's feet. Now, crowns are meant to be worn on one's head. And so I asked the Lord, you know, Lord, how is it that I can wear my crown on my head and still cast it at your feet? And God says to me very simply, well, what you have to do is you have to cast yourself at my feet. And if you cast yourself at my feet, then your crown can be on your head and at my feet at the same time. And this is what God is saying to us. All of your hopes, all of your dreams, cast them down at his feet. And now here's the cool thing about it is God loves your Isaac more than you do. God loves your laughter more than you do. And so when Abraham is willing and ready to lay his son down, that's when God cries out from the heavens and says, Abraham, Abraham, do not stretch out your hand against the young man. It's like God saying to you and to me, I told you to lay it down, but I did not tell you to let it go. I told you to lay it down, but I did not tell you to give up on it. I told you to stop trying to do it in your own strength, but I did not tell you to ever believe that God cannot use you or that God cannot cause his glory to be manifest through you. I simply said, stop trying to do it on your own. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Stop trying to do it for your own purposes. Stop trying to do it for your own glory. Beware, the Lord says to us, of Ishmael. Beware of trying to fulfill a good thing in a way that precedes God. Beware of moving faster than him. Beware of Ishmael. Wait for God. If he made a promise, he will keep it. He has more zeal to see it happen than you could ever see it happen. Abraham and Sarah wanted a son, but God wanted a son for them more than they did. God wanted to fulfill the promise more than they wanted to have it fulfilled. So now, whenever God asks them to lay it down, they might think that what he means is give up on it and try something else. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying, just stop trying to do it in your own strength. Now, as they're ready to lay it down, as Abraham is ready to lay his son down, God begins to speak from heaven and he stops him in his tracks. Abraham, Abraham, do not stretch out your hand upon this child. The same thing God says to you and to me. Don't give up. Don't let go. Keep trusting me. Now, look in your text again. Genesis 22, verses 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For I now know that you fear God. It's that same God who creates and recreates and who maintains and who develops until this thing looks like he wants it to look, until our lives begin to look the way he wants it to look. It's almost as though you see him as a carpenter again, and you see him working, and you see him whittling, and you see him screwing what needs to be screwed and calibrating what needs to be calibrated until he looks at that thing and says, now I know it's ready. He's building a chair and he's putting the thing together and he's doing what he can to jostle it and then pressurize it and put weight upon it until he says, now I know that it can hold the weight that I want to put on it. Now I know that it can fulfill the plan that I have for it because it is willing to come under my correction. Willing to allow me to say, let this go, let that go, hold on to this, hold on to that, do this or do that. Now I know that I can use this person in this capacity. Now I know that I can use this person as a blessing. Now I know that I can change situations based upon this person. This is the God who knows everything. So he's not getting some new knowledge. What he's saying is this thing now is ready. This man is in a position now that I can bring him to another place, I can push him into another direction, I can bring him into another dimension. All of a sudden, God looks at this man, Abraham, and he said, this man is ready.
all of a sudden you feel God's zeal, God's enthusiasm, God's excitement about the fact that he is going to use this man in ways that to this day we still bear witness to. What you see happening is God saying, Abraham, don't think that I've forgotten you. I love Isaac. Don't think that I'm asking you to give up on him. I love laughter. He means a lot to me. Don't stretch out your hands against him. Don't think that God can't use him. God begins to speak over him. And all he says is, if you give him to me, then I can cause all of the promises that I've begun to speak into you to be made manifest. And you and I know that God speaks a promise in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says all of the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. And basically what he's saying to you and to me is, when you trust Christ with what you are and who you are, then God can look at you and say, now I know that this person is walking in a spirit of worship. Now I know that this person is walking in godly fear. Now I know that this person trusts me, in other words, for who I am. Now I know that they believe me with the depths of their soul. Now I know they believe me with all of their hopes, with all of their aspirations. Now I know that they're not trying to do it in their own strength. Now I know that they're putting it in my hands. And they're saying to me, Lord, I know you love me more than I could ever love myself. And you love the call on my life more than I could ever love it. And the Lord says to him, don't put your hands on that child. He says, and then it says in verse 13, then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there was behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horn. So Abraham went, took the ram, offered it up as a whole burnt offering instead of his son. So all of a sudden, you don't just see God's zeal and God's exuberance to see this thing come to pass, but you see God's great provision. Saying this ain't going to come to pass because your strength or your abilities. This is going to happen because God is with you. And because God has provided for you. That God has made a way for you. You and I are not going to make a difference in this generation because of some skills that we have or some excitement that we have or some experience that we have or some education that we have. We are going to make a difference in this generation because Jesus is with us. Because Jesus works in us. Hallelujah. Because Jesus works through us. Because Jesus has sacrificed himself for us and has risen again so that he might supervise us, that he might be God to us, that he might be good to us, that he might manifest his glory in us, that he might cause his name to be seen in us, that he might cause his praise to go forth through us, that he might perpetuate his worship because of us, that he might speak to this generation once again through us. The Lord has made a determination that he would cause his glory to be manifest in his body. That anybody who would put their heart in him and their trust in him, that would lay their Isaac down before him, would find that he is more than sufficient, that he is more than enough, that he is exactly who he said he is. We serve a great and a mighty God, one who ought to be praised, one who ought to be worshipped. And so he said, I am going to provide you with everything that you need. You and I don't have to worry about how we're going to make a difference in this generation. All we have to do is persist in praise. All we have to do is worship his name. All we have to do is sing his songs. All we have to do is preach his word. All we have to do is make his name known in this generation. Paul said, I am not ashamed of this gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to as many as would believe. We persist in this glorious gospel. And so we hear the Lord say, don't put your hands on this child. Don't touch this child. Bring him up as an whole burnt offering to me, and I will provide you with everything that you need. And Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. Literally, Yahweh Yireh or Jehovah Jireh. As it is said this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Or more specifically, in the Lord's mountain he shall be seen. Now, what we see happening here is Abraham getting the big picture. It's one thing to see your son laying on an altar. It's another thing to see your son laying on an altar in the context of the heavenly glory. To see heaven open and all of a sudden, like Elisha's servant in the days of old, you see God's impact and God's influence, the heavenly host all on the hills and the mountains. You see heaven open and you hear the voice that Jesus heard when he was being baptized. This is my son, or this is my daughter in whom I am well pleased. All of a sudden, you see the big picture. In God's mountain, in that place where I chose to lay it down, in that place where I chose to give it to God, in that place where I chose to give God my hopes and to give God my dreams, to give God my aspirations, to give God my ambitions, in that place where I chose to believe that God is faithful to his word, that if God says he's going to do a thing, he's going to do a thing, however he chooses to do it, whenever he chooses to do it, by whatever means he chooses to do it, according to his own wisdom, according to his own guidance, according to his own word, in that place where I chose to put all of my hope and all of my trust in the name of that great and holy Savior, when I chose to trust him with my life, when I chose to trust him with my liberty, when I chose to trust him with my identity, when I chose to trust him with my theology, when I chose to trust him with my psychology, when I chose to trust him with my philosophy, when I put everything in his hands and chose to trust him with my life, then the heavens opened. And I got a vision of the great and the mighty God. And I began to believe again. And I began to hope again. And I began to sing again. And I began to pray again. And I began to praise again. And I began to put my hope in that great and that mighty God again. And all of a sudden, I saw Isaac rise up again. I saw laughter rise up again. I saw joy rise up again. I saw hope rise up again. I saw faith rise up again. I saw zeal rise up again. I began to pray again. I began to sing again. I began to hope again. I began to preach again. I began to tell my neighbors about Jesus again. I began to tell my coworkers about Jesus again. I began to tell my classmates about Jesus again. I began to tell my sons and my daughters, my mothers and my fathers, my sisters and my brothers, my cousins and my uncles. I began to tell people about Jesus once again. Hallelujah! 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 Glory! 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 Glory to his holy name. Next time I'm only going to have one cup of coffee rather than two. But God knows there comes a time to trust him with everything. Hallelujah. Lay it down, but don't let it go. Lay down your options, my options, to do it in our own strength. I have one quick prophetic word for somebody in this room. Beware of Isaac. If God told you he's going to give you a son, he's going to give you a son. Don't move ahead of him. Right? Amen. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a glorious day in Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to pray together. If God is speaking to you and you're saying, God, I just want to trust you. And there's a little thing in your heart and you know you need to trust God with it. You know, he's made a promise to you and there's an inclination. It's in all of us. You see it straight through the scripture. To try and do it in our own strength doesn't make you a bad person. It just makes you a person. But God wants to say, give it to me. Because I love it more than you do. God loves Isaac more than you. He loves Isaac more than me. God loves laughter. And he's going to raise it up again. But he's going to do it his way, in his time. And it's going to have resurrection life rather than mortal life. Resurrection life. Going from mortal to immortal. Right? As Paul says. God is speaking to you. Balcony. Main floor. Of course, you know, if you are at home, you just bow your head, bend your knees before that great and holy Savior. If you're in the annex, you can go between the screens. In North Jersey or any of our campuses roundabout, ushers will tell you what you need to do if you want to come to a front like this and pray. If you're here in this main sanctuary and you want to come to the front and pray and just say, God, I just want to lay it down before you and I'll trust you to raise it up in your image and in your likeness. Then follow these who are coming up. We'll sing some songs of praise and worship. And then we'll pray together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Oh God, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. You've spoken to us today, Lord. You've spoken so powerfully, so clearly, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord, that your ways are higher than our ways, O God. Give us the grace to follow you as you lead us, Lord. Each of us, Lord. The faith to believe that the promises you made to us years ago, in some cases, are still ours. You are more zealous to see them fulfilled than we are now. God, we thank you for it. Thank you for these people who have gathered at this altar today and those that are listening online. Oh God, you put a deposit of your life within us years ago, and now you've come back for the interest. And I thank you, Lord God. As Paul said, I will live and I'll be spent for God, for his kingdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that by faith we can stand in this darkened hour. By faith, Lord, we will see the victory. Every promise you've made to our hearts, Lord, will be fulfilled. Jesus, thank you for what a powerful word today. Thank you, God. Thank you for how deeply it's touched all of us, Lord. We bless you for it, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.